I'm Joseph Rickert. I'm the editor of R Studio's community blog, R Views. And I'm here to talk about big league blogging and give you some idea of the, first of all, the motivation, the meaning. Data. So in the 21st century, I believe we face a situation where to lead and be literate, it's necessary to code, to express yourself, and communicate that clearly. So we're talking more here about mixing text and code. What we're advocating is literacy at the level of the mathematics and the English, or the text. So quantitative blogging is the new measure of literacy. And I think what we're seeing now is the need to do this and learn with a set of tools. So here's one set of tools. We use our Markdown at our blog as the word processor. Blogdown and Yugo are the mechanisms for generating the website. And of course, underneath the covers, we have HTML and CSS. All this we do with GitHub for the cooperative aspects. And the important part here that this chart shows is that we open up a branch for each blog. So that's how the mechanism works. Of course, we have the master branch. Each blog is a new branch with a pull request behind it.
This is a view of what my working area looks like. So you see here in the background, the GitHub page, where you can get a blog, you open up a new branch and a pull request. When you work here, our studios are contributing to that, and then you can see that there are some add-ins generating new blogs for rendering the site. So what you do is you work in the market, then you render the site, so it creates a beta copy of the HTML. And finally, when you're ready to go, you can see the flag that says draft and it's published. The issues that we've encountered are mostly related to data. And it requires some work, first of all, believing in the blog, believer that So this guy wrote one silly name, but which we call a rose by any other name, small as sweet. Well, in R, it doesn't matter how sweet the function is, if you call it by any other name, you'll get an error. Yes. And that's why we talk about the current state of naming conventions in R. So I'm going to ask Mr. presenting this to my colleague, which I get the role of editing. But we eventually are going to be back to the world. A quiz where you will be looking, guessing the name conventions for parameters of read table. So which of these parameters are triplet separated and which are written in lower count case? So for example, is read white or is it written in lower count case? Think about this for a second. And the time is up. So, as you can see, it's kind of a mix, right? Strict white is being separated while house eight is written in the lower count case. What I wanted to show here was that even in base R, many different naming conventions are used. So, what different naming conventions can we find in R in general? Well, we have different separated names, as in read table, and information found only in R. We have lower count case as for methods in Java, and upper count case as for classes in Java. All these examples are from base R, by the way. But there's no, we have, what is it called? We separate names, yes. That's not in Python and Ruby. We have lower case in MATLAB. And finally, there are mixes of the domain style. So, given this smorgasbord of naming conventions, what are people actually using? Well, to figure this out, we script graph raw namespace files and R documentation files, and then we extracted function names and parameter names from each package. We also got release dates from graph timestamps, and finally, we found out which parameter and function names conform to which naming convention. And here are the results. So, it's actually the case that most function names of gram conform to the lower count of case convention. Closely followed by term separated and underscore separated names. Note here that the percentages don't present at 100%. That's because there's some overlap between conventions like lowercase names or also read and underscore separated names. If we independent directors, we see a similar picture, but the percentage we've seen with banks is overall high because private case is often lowercase, single lowercase words. So this presentation help is actually a take on a report I got into the article in 2012. This graph here shows the popularity of different payment conventions for packages by first real estate in 2012 or up until 2012. We see a decrease in our lowercase and an increase in underscores avoided. So what has happened since? Well, I think actually the thing is that the tidal wave happened. So since 2015, most new packages use underscore separated names. So we've been looking at what name conventions people use, but to get at what name conventions people actually see, we pulled up download statistics from the RStudio servers, and here are naming conventions weighted by package popularity. Since many popular packages use underscore, it is now the most common convention for function calls. So I think naming conventions is a sensitive issue, and I don't want to, I don't dare make any recommendations there, but my personal thing is that if you use underscore separated names, if you are generally friendly and a good company, if you use lower case, you are also not going to get it off. To use curved separated names if you want to be your own school. But don't use all lower case because it's really hard to read, and don't use uppercase case. Even if Google, for some reason, tells you to in your official personal email, I don't know why. And don't mix naming conventions, not in the same package, but especially not in the same name. All right, I think that was the current state of naming conventions in R. Thank you. I'm Rasmus Bolt. If you want to chat naming conventions or anything, just grab my words or find me on Twitter at Raboth. Thank you so much. Hello, my name is Helen Blumert. I'm happy to present to you a package that makes it possible to remember and reverse the arguments in a systematic and effective way. And it's done by connecting R to R. Why is this even necessary? So, if you may be a little bit like me, you may find yourself revisiting some of the same segment websites again. Maybe in another one, and of course, this is because we all forget things over time. But when we forget, that's a great deal how well we know things. That is why we need space repetition software to remind us what we need to do to see the code designs. Okay, Anki is really cool. It's best in class software. It's really open source. It's completely cross platform. It's used in many disciplines. Lots of concentration. R2Act is here to address the issues that stops you from using. So, with R2Act, you can create R2Act cards, flashcards, answer question cards, write an R, you can write R markdown, because it's all plain text, you can collaborate and share easily. So, if you want to use it, you have to download it, and it's on GitHub right now, and you have to install the latest version of R2Act. Initialize IP once so that it's not a better markdown output. And if you want to get a head start, you can go to this repository and you can download the base there. So the basic part of the markdown looks like this. There's a fourth level header that you can write anything on it, and there's two HTML comments in it to write the answer and you can use markdown. So that's what the source looks like. On the right side, you see the vocabulary tab. And you can use that in the subway. So, the big log flow looks like this. You have an R2Act notebook. You can connect it with a template that comes with a package. And enter your comments. And when you're happy, you call the R2Act function.
And then you bring it to IT. I want to better. There are a few things where I could go. I would like to parse existing documentation. I'd like to do a few things with the record. But the most important thing is, I think it's a really good idea that packages could be extended to this. And I'm going to have 1.5 minutes for this slide now. So I'm going to make a call for contributions. So I think this is a good approach, and I used it myself, and it works. So the IT algorithm is really famous for estimating the best time to present your part to learn things. So it's used by people who want to harmonize a lot of things, and it's good to learn how to pass by part, right? But making these things is quite a bit of effort, but it's capable. So if I make a prototype series and you make one for the client, we can share it, and we can all make it. We can review it with some data. So that's why I hope you will try it out. Let me know how it works for you. It's still in the early stage. I'm very happy to hear about feedback. Please contact me by any means or later at the conference. I can show you what it looks like on my mobile. And if you ever come to Denver, please say hello to our public. And thank you very much for having me at this conference. Any questions?
So we have a bunch of independent developers who have been using R in various different things over the last 10 or 15 years in universities and government organizations and companies. And we are a huge network of developers who just have a lot of interests. And this actually turns out to be my own slides now. I'll send some update, but anyway, I try to improvise. So basically, we try to combine these different developers to have fun while working on R and developing packages. We enjoy the R ecosystem. And instead of developing individual packages, we are trying to foster a community of developers. And instead of creating big package infrastructure like R, sorry, it's not going to be a developer, we really try to focus on a smaller community of tightly combined developers who really interact very actively. And how this all started, there was this open data wave also in Finland as in many other countries, and we realized that we could start making R packages also for open data in 2010. And we started to rediscover some previous data sources that we found out that we started working with international collaborators, and we ended up having like 20 plus packages or something. Eurostat packages is one of these examples. It's actually a very nice example because it exists. It wouldn't exist without this network of independent developers. We never planned to make this package in some time because we had all these connections between different people working on other packages. And I still haven't met many of the developers with this package. We just published it in our journal. And what we have learned on the way, there is challenges in fostering such communities because we do not have any formal organization and people have different places to work in. But certainly in this context is true in developing hypothesis because we can exchange experiences and we can really have this compact knowledge of other small community. And it's open community. So you can just get in touch with us if you want to contribute or if you want to benefit from this networking. So just get in touch with us. There is all the information on our website how you can contribute. You can set the package or you can set the package if you are working with the community data. And here is a list of names. Some many developers now we are active product management. I am not sure how many slides that my moment is going to be here, but I guess there is time for some questions. For web journalism. This was not originally designed for data journalism as such. Actually, well, yeah, this has been used for some publications, but as far as I know, this is not actively used by any newspaper or magazine for data journalism. Actually, an interesting feature of the whole project is that we don't really have a clear focus, and we are constantly struggling with this lack of focus. But this is why this is an interesting also strength, because we have a lot of different interests and we have a versatile network of people who still like to have up with their different topics. We have contributed to some of the data journalism workshops and educating people with R. And we really have a huge collection of packages on the website. We also did some data activism. We made a really impressive interesting thing that with some other people on the journal subscription prices and analyzed that in one report. There was also one more question. That package and in general packages for statistical organizations, nationwide statistical organizations and European statistical organizations. This is one source of data. Of course, there are many others. For instance, the Swiss Parliament has released some data from the Swiss Parliament, and there are many other organizations. Yeah,
To making our success in the organization really is speaking. Some of our statisticians were already using the version of our and all of our groups had similar skills, but they were isolated. So my first job was to find them and to put them together and generate some enthusiasm in the grassroots level. Just as important was to identify more senior people who were receptive to the ideas and problem claims. To help them make happen. So I did a series of talks and I began to start involving to secure sample management by. My pitch was that R is a bit like a Swiss Army knife that could do all of what artistic and technical tools such as SAS and SPSS already did, but better. In particular, R pipelines for producing statistics would be the best and maintainable, which is really important to us because our system statistician would be based on a couple of years. So because R was designed as an interface language, we can also use it as a set of keys to other tools that can help us address future analytical needs. For systems, for the form statistics, where it uses R as an interface to respond to sorry, Jonathan. Building on those types of R, I push the R agenda as part of some top projects, such as upgrading the infrastructure, our public data agenda, predictive analytics, and piggybacking on the larger hydrated project to keep traction on better IPO. So then to keep momentum during the early stages, it's really critical to deliver some quick wins with maximum visibility. And Shiny has been really good for this because as a physician can have different apps with almost no training or IT overhead. This week we can produce stuff really fast. So within less than a year, we've built half a dozen apps. This is our first, which shows the popularity of the apps in Scotland and the global flows effect. So far, Shiny work has grown more or less organically, so the next step is to start scaling up and away from prototyping. So at this stage, the first barrier you're going to hit is IT. The problem is not so much the hardware or the software, but it's more a sort of risk averse culture and lack of capability to innovate. So people just know security concerns around personal software, and that are basically not a massive compliance and are real challenges for traditional IT organizations. So it's going to take some time to resolve these issues. So one of the options we're looking at is to move to the cloud as part of a digital strategy. Shiny is one of the first major cloud products that may need that large access to the government to the cloud in general. The next and most important challenge is to attract, retain, and develop the staff that we need to deliver the premises of our. We cannot do this with productivity salaries, but we can working with interesting data and data groups is appealing to young data scientists and that also a lot of existing staff have got to speak to the use it because we can't just do it the way we've done in the past. It's difficult to protect time for people to work on innovative projects. The changes to show that data science is a measurable impact on government policy and service delivery to create some demand for it. There are also career related issues such as how does our data science fit within our existing IT and IT professionals and how do we build a career path for people. To move up the ladder without necessarily having to become a manager, something that we would technical skills difficult to do because we have quite rigid job experience and pay skills. But fortunately, we don't have to face those issues at all, and we've been working with other public sector organizations to find common solutions to common problems, for instance, where they have surveys in Scotland. Finally, we have also started a worldwide cross-government program called R.Gov. So that instead of trying to invent the code, we can actually work for each other and experience this. So in the end, we are working for the people, so I hope you will come and enjoy the fun. Everyone's welcome. Thank you.
Look it up. It's if I'm going to
basis of the decision is there for those who perspective, not data say from each country, just to make it interesting, but otherwise could be super long. I'm trying to change it between the position. Two tests here for data sets for Germany, and this is how to access a German environment perspective, but there are people. There's a data set for the statistics of events. This is only to manage the chance for the super use for the events in the planet. This is from Austria, public hearing, so again, I'm German, so I'm not sharing how German connects to these neighboring countries. As a German, I have to talk, as it was a paper, but of course, we have a big point, so I have to buy access. As a public hearing, so it's a big Austria, and it was 10, so it's like very big, and I could go, so I'm very proud to take. We have a five calendar, this is how I have generated, so I just put it for the application, and I think it's as if we had generated, but the API account was a bit nasty, so I think we have to wait a bit. It's become better in 2018, is what they promised, but the problem is only 2 years ago, so let's see. This is a better set that part is also then how we can access with the case that is packaged. It's a package called Google. I'm just taking what comes out of there and harmonizing it. Here's an example of nice big public sites, you see. Except Danish, as most Germans can read it out. This is Sweden, so we get accessed with the TXMAP package, so not TXMAP, this is PXMAP. TXMAP covers Sweden and Finland, the BBC output. Sweden has about 1,500 data sets, we can access this department of data sets. We can have the parameters, which may be used by that, like you mentioned. We can have statistics in Norway, we can check if they have about 6,000 data sets. We can also access with the TXMAP package. So we want to have the Norway provider, but they use the same standard. Actually, write the text of package at all. This is a small product that could not use Norway. So this is just a target to put in the computation because it's been compiling for our given choice. And again, it's talking to the text of package, and I think there's one thing to do. And then I can tell you what also exists. So, all those browsers, so finally everything has to be input. Finally, otherwise it doesn't exist. So, here is just a few example data sets. We talk about entrance for each of the data points. And if you find it, the query generated is generated from the browser data set. But in the browser, you will see a JSON data set. And so, you do not need to do it again to study the JSON document and so on. So, one of the best apps is the start app, but don't be happy with it if you haven't used it. So, the app is XML. And processing with some function of this thing. Maybe in Java also, if you have an SDMX provider, you're lucky, so you use an international organization listed on the left. There's your state, there's your bank, Australian Bureau of Statistics, maybe not Belgium, yes, National Bank of Belgium, there's Mexico, there's France, and so increasingly, digital data forms is a bit of a package. And I made an application with this card.
Decisions, lawsuits, and laws of the U.S. It's the Journalist Brazilian Association. We provide service to the Brazilian friends and neighbors. We are pleased first that we are not having a one-time litigation response to understand. Strategy, like for example, composition of laws and chance. Many issues like predictive quality of decision making and whatever. And we think also that public policy trying to help governments
I come from a small university in Germany.
Actually, I teach everything from basic mathematics to statistics. You see, our university is that the students are very heterogeneous. So their knowledge of mathematics is very heterogeneous. And we have to train a lot of basics and then actually get to the idea of using Charlie X to train it. So to say, basic tasks in mathematics and statistics. You see the link there, and example like here, so this is a typical Charlie.
The first three slides I taught don't need that, but I not just the other one. And then I will also talk about regulatory compliance and teaching issues. Particularly when you teach students, I teach agricultural science, and you need serious training with requirements of these networks. And the struggle for boundary packages, this is terrible because there's no second chance to get the first impression. And I've been teaching in Iran and in China, to get them down, and it's a little bit difficult to get all the packages down. And they didn't get a very good introduction to it. And we actually struggled along, and there are huge problems, but some very smart Japanese people say actually downloaded each zip file. Packages and we did it ourselves. And after one day, we had to avoid it. Then I'll take along Mimicram, which is a very good function, which can actually collect packages and dependencies. And it means then you are completely controlled of your operation. And here we have a GT blocks. You can see a lot of packages and dependencies. And we have another one, for example, the one we have been using, which is this is GT block 2. And then we have another one, which is a TLC dose response curve, which looks almost the same as this one. So you can see that all the packages, 30 packages or what dependencies, and that if you can organize them with Mimicram, that's really helpful. That's nice. Okay. So if you use Mimicram, then you can manage version control, and there's no problem with these tools. They can accept the same results. And if you stay put with the Mimicram repository, then you can stay for a year, probably, without changing anything. And then you probably have to change. Sometimes that's true, you can change. Okay, reproducible. What we need is reproducible data analysis. And the problem is that you get it, and if you want to have a reproducibility, you keep with the versions you look at. EU, EFSA, USDA, EFSA, they actually all need that you can reproduce your analysis. And in 2007, there was a paper on that, and this year, very interesting, because those guys, they're very conservative when it comes to reproducibility, just being the same. And I'll now give you an example, and it is actually from the EPA, where you measure the effective dose, 50%, two versions of R. What do you get? Tiny differences, not acceptable for the lawyers. And it is really a problem. Yet they are different. And that is why R is a little bit dicey when we use it for regulatory purposes. What to do